Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Hospice of Lubbock, Happy State Bank, and the law offices of Mullen, Horde, and Brown, LLP. Now, here's your host, Ted Dotts.
Hello. I'm Ted Dotts, and welcome to Faith Matters. Since I'm the new host, I would tell you that I came to Lubbock in 1949 to attend Lubbock High, attended Texas Tech until the Army drafted me, and then moved back to Lubbock in 1975. Faith Matters is a program in which we interview citizens about belief and practice, which gives a chance to overhear, I think, the best way to learn. Too is by overhearing. I want to thank Ryan Price and David Cruz, who started Faith Matters. They were the hosts for 13 months, did a superb job of getting citizens from West Texas on the air so that the rest of us could overhear some of the wisdom. Ryan and David, thank you very much for hosting this show for those 13 months. Today we have Christy Martinez Garcia, a woman I have gotten to observe at a bit of a distance, but she is such a sparkle of a woman and so committed to things in this community that I was eager to have her for the first guest. Christy is a native of Lubbock, also a Texas Tech University graduate. She's an advocate of many things in the community. She connects the Latino to the at-large community. She's the publisher of Latino Lubbock magazine. And other things about her that intrigue me, she is an artist, especially in photography and in writing. She benefits the community in many ways. She's also a philanthropist and has made many contributions to this community through people. Christy, welcome to you. Thank you for being here today. I wanted to start off by noticing that I read your March editorial in the Latino Lubbock magazine, and you have this sentence in there, and I was hoping perhaps you would tell me a little more about it. You say, always love, pretty tall order, and pretty tough stuff. Now, where do you get what it takes to go into tall orders and tough stuff?
That I was so blessed to have this grandfather that lived right immediately next door to me. And then on the block behind me were my other grandparents. So I was raised with individuals that possessed so much wisdom and that were very faith-driven. So these were the messages that were constantly instilled in me. It's just a reflection of individuals that invested in me and shared their wisdom with me.
Christy, I'm really impressed. You draw from your grandparents. Often people in our society, we don't get to do that so much anymore. Would it be all right if you picked out something you got from a grandparent that you think even influences you today?
Every day is there something. And I just left earlier. I went to a meeting and, you know, we were talking about literacy. And I shared a story about when my grandfather passed away. I remember the family Bible was, you know, inherited by my father. And they asked me to take it to him. And I remember taking it to the house, and my dad still was, he had gone to take care of some items and whatnot. And I remember opening that Bible because it was humongous. You know, it had pictures, but in it, it also had the family history. And the best part were all these different certificates, certificate of marriage, baptismal, communion. And then one particular item that to this day stays with me and I think is so important in what I do was at the age of 65, my grandfather got his GED. And to think that this man put his GED certificate into a Bible, my grandfather taught me first God, then family, and never, never forget your community. And of course, he said that to me in Spanish. But I thought, how amazing that this individual placed such a document into the Bible because he saw education as, I think, a very significant part of life and who he was. You know, so there was so many things. Every day it was something. And I often refer to all that in my publication, is that my grandfather would just, you know, I would go over there. And I needed that blessing, and I needed that knowledge from him whenever there was a situation. Of course, I had very engaged parents, but when you have a grandparents that are your neighbors, who could ask for anything more?
Wow, Christy. That's deeply moving. I'm especially intrigued. When I ask you the thing that influenced you, you went immediately to education. Would you talk with me a little bit about you and education?
Well, I will let you know that I, too, am a Lubbock High Westerner. And once a Westerner, always a Westerner.
Yes, ma'am.
And then, of course, I went on and attended Texas Tech University, which was another achievement for me. This past year, my husband and I, we were selected as Texas Tech Parents of the Year.
Oh.
And that was a big thing, because when my husband and I were students, we actually met at Texas Tech. You couldn't always find those mentors or those individuals that had that connection that could really inspire you or want to get you excited about the community. There were there, but limited, I think, because it was a small minority of Hispanics, to give an example. And so I told my husband, when we have the opportunity, we have to be accessible to these kids. She's attending Texas Tech and will be graduating in May.
And just 3 years.
Yes, yes, sir. And you know, and it's like I told her, when you have that type of parental support and knowledge of parents that have already been through college and can really guide you, makes it a little bit easier. She's been a fabulous student, but it was also a way for me to connect. And she'd say, oh, this student doesn't have, they don't have a place to go for Easter, or they can't go home for Christmas. And so I made it a point for us to become that surrogate family, I guess you could say, for a lot of these kids. And so even though God only blessed me with one child, I've been blessed that I have thousands of college kids. And I'm not kidding you when I tell you thousands. I've had the privilege of getting to be a part of their own projects, or letting them come do laundry at my house, or feeding them, or being an advisor to them. They have blessed me beyond belief. I can't even tell you. And the other great part, when you have these college kids around and they graduate and go on to be successes, well, now I have access to lawyers, architects, and so it's kind of like I said, it's just been such a blessing. And education is something that I constantly share with anybody and everybody. It's a privilege, and we have to view it as that, because, you know, you and I have been to other countries like Turkey, where education is not always so accessible. Mm-hmm. So it is very, very important to mm-hmm. me and to the community.
That's a great gift your grandfather gave.
Oh, yes.
Would it be all right if you said his name?
Oh, absolutely. My grandfather's name was Juan Martinez. And a lot of people in the neighborhood would call him Don Juan Martinez. And whenever you're provided that title of Don, it's a title of honor. My grandfather came to Lubbock from South Texas, and he came via the church. The church had asked him to come to Lubbock because there was a lot of migrant families, a lot of families from the South that were coming to Lubbock to work in the cotton fields. And he felt like that was an opportunity to come and be a spiritual leader for them. So he moved to Lubbock.
This is too good. I want it to keep going, but we need to take a quick break.
Absolutely.
And I'll say to the people, you're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Ted Dotts. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Ted Dotts.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ted Dotts, and we're visiting with our guest today, Christy Martinez-Garcia. And she has just begun to tell us a bit about her grandfather, who had huge influence on her and on this entire area of West Texas. And he came almost at a call by the church to come, and especially in light of the migrant workers that were so much a part of our population at that time. So, Christy, Would you tell us a little more about your grandfather and Andy's influence on you and others?
Yes, absolutely. And as I mentioned, my grandfather had come to Lubbock. His job was to help families to find their way once they got to the Lubbock community. If they didn't have any money for food, he would give them food. He would help find housing for them, and he would connect them to farmers for working. He also provided a service of, you know, in Spanish we call them troqueros. Troqueros meaning that they would take people to go work in designated fields and whatnot. And then for him, the most significant part was connecting them to church. And that was very, very important. I mean, he was an individual that it amazes me to hear stories from individuals, because one lady told me just last week, she said, you know, you're just like your grandfather. And without getting emotional, that was like, I can't even tell you how significant that was for me to hear. Because she said, you really care about the community and you're just like him. And she shared a story about what he did for her family. And I thought, wow, you know, that's just amazing that we can carry on that legacy. And I'm sorry if I'm getting a little emotional, but right. it was significant to hear that kind of stuff, that he was so dedicated and committed to anybody that one first had a hunger for God, or sometimes didn't know it, but needed God to be the main influence and guide of their life. He really reflected who Christ was. And so, and I mean, just giving, and no matter what. Another really interesting story that was shared to me by the late Monsignor Curtis Hoffman, as you know, was such an influence in my life as well. And Curtis Hoffman, one day we were talking, and I was leading the effort to name a street after Cesar E. Chavez, a great American hero. After we had done presentations, and we had been doing this for months now, Father Hoffman, or Monsignor Hoffman, said to me, you know, when I saw you speaking today, you have the spirit of your grandfather, but you're so articulate, and he would be so proud of you. And he said, I don't know if he ever told you about the March of Faith, but he told about some police brutality issues that had occurred in Lubbock. And so for a long time that was happening. And then one day my grandfather got pulled over and he experienced some issues. And so rather than, you know, fighting with words and whatnot, what he did is he went back to his church community and to what they call the Crucistas, which is another outlet for really building your faith. It's part of the Catholic Church community, but anybody is involved in it. It's been going on for years, and he explained to them what had happened and whatnot. So rather than go and fight, they did fight, but in a way that they held the March of Faith, which was a peaceful demonstration that got the city listening. And I felt like, wow, what a way to make change. And that was first to encourage dialogue. And secondly, you know, we have to do this right, and we have to do this humanely, and we have to do this respectfully. And I just felt like that was such a great story when he told me that. He also told me, you know, it was very serious that day that they were doing the March of Faith on Broadway Street, because at the top of some of the buildings, he said there were, I guess you call them marksmen, ready to shoot if anybody got out of control. And I thought it was a sign of the times then, but you know, thank God that things have gotten so much better.
That's true, Christy. I know. I remember when I came home from the Army, to my surprise, Hispanics would be in the movie theater, and they hadn't been 3 years before mm-hmm. when I was drafted. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, what would you say your grandfather taught you about racial prejudice?
What his focus was to build me to first God, then family, then community. Uh-huh. It never said God that is, you know, a white, black, or Hispanic God. Family was family, because, you know, this is another funny story, but we have an Asian family that came to Lubbock and is now adopted family. So there was never race, ethnicity, or anything. Whoever came and needed help, they became family. And then community, I guess in a sense, was all about that. But what he did is he built, you know, my awareness of the significance of God and what Christ did and how we should help each other and how we should bless each other and how we should never forget that really, and no matter how much wealth you have, it does you no good if you're not sharing it and helping your fellow man. So that's the kind of grandfather that I had. And those are the kind of lessons that were taught to me. In the regard, I think just hearing that story from Curtis Hoffman and learning that my grandfather was encouraging dialogue. It's so funny. That's what, for me, I frequently encourage. And it's not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think people, when they see me taking on certain issues, they immediately generalize or stereotype my character. But this is, I think, beyond that. I mean, when I go in, I try to do everything respectfully. And I try to do everything with that thinking of, you know, and it's kind of a cliche, what would Jesus do? But that type of mentality that, you know, you got to go in there and do it properly and not, we're never there to hurt anybody. We're never there to allow people to be hurt. And I think that's very important.
You know, you've raised such an important word, the word dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it as two people keeping company with each other. But that's hard to do. I'm wondering if you've picked up some pointers or skills when it comes to how you actually have a dialogue, especially if you're in a situation where people are more prone to be yelling at one another
Yes.
than listening.
Well, you know, another thing that my granddad said was, if you allow, and this is a great example of, I guess he was telling, but if you allow someone to say something negative and hurtful about another person, then you're just as much at fault because you didn't do or say anything. So maybe he was talking about prejudices and racism and whatnot, but I think it was just being an advocate for people. And to me, those words are very significant. And whenever I'm dealing with a situation, I make it a point. I mean, listening is the key to so many things. You often have to just take the time and listen to what someone says. Then, you know, sometimes I hear, you know, just by listening to their words that there's a deeper hurt in there. And so I take the time to listen, and then I begin to create that dialogue. And it isn't always easy. I had an individual once, as I was invited to sit at, you know what they say, have a place at the table. I was invited to sit at the table, and I said something that was not offensive or in any way, just asked a question. And obviously he had already had so many experiences that when he responded in an attackful way. That, you know, I always tell someone, when someone's so angry that they even spit. But I forgave him,
Christy,
let me just say.
I want to come back to this. Right now we're going to a quick break. You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Ted Dotts. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Ted Dotts.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ted Dotts, and our guest today is Christy Martinez-Garcia. And we have just been talking about dialogue, and Christy has begun to remember some pointers about having a good conversation, which I call dialogue. And so, Christy, would you mind telling us a little bit about what it takes to listen well and to have a good dialogue?
I married this individual named Frank Garcia, as you have met mm-hmm. my husband. And when I first met him, I thought, man, this guy is so calm and just, he's a great listener. One day I asked Frank, you know, of course, later on we got married, and, you know, I had prayed for the right person, and that's who God put in my path. I asked him, I said, Frank, how are you so patient and so calm about everything? And he said, well, first, I prayed for that. And then second, my mother always said, you need to listen. He said, I realized that sometimes that's all that people want, is just for you to hear what they say, to let them, allow them to express their emotions. So, you know, I followed that same, you know, order, and I prayed for patience and to be able to be a better listener. I think that for me now, even in my profession as a, you know, newspaper publisher and getting to write stories, I find that I have to listen, because you never know what story opportunity is going to be out there. I mean, I wrote a story not too long ago about they had all-female Hispanic baseball team, not a softball team, and they were called Las Estrellas, which means the stars. It was so interesting because I was having another conversation, and then it was about the Los Aguilas, the Eagles of Lubbock, which they also had a baseball team. And then one of them said, "Oh, yeah, and when we had our baseball team," and she kept on going, and I said, "Wait a minute, back up. What did you say? Did you say something about a baseball team?" But you just start becoming trained to listen and look out for those stories. Well, let me just tell you that it was during the Depression, and you've seen the movie, I think it's called The League of Their Own, about the female baseball teams.
Yes.
We had one right here in Lubbock.
Oh.
We had one, and that group, Las Estrellas, was the all-female, all-Hispanic group of women that played baseball. So I thought it was such a wonderful story, and I would have never really heard that if I wouldn't have been listening. And there is a difference between the two, hearing and listening. But needless to say, now that story has become part of a lot of national historical books. It opened more doors for other story opportunities. So,
no wonder I like Lubbock. We have a lot of things that we don't even know about.
We do, and that's something that I strive to always be looking for, is those stories. And in this month's issue of Latino Lubbock Magazine, you will find an article that I wrote about another one of my role models, Ernest Barton. And Ernest F. Barton, he's the first individual to own a Hispanic radio station. And by the way, he is Hispanic. And just an individual that has really, another just wonderful character, and just so outgoing and so dedicated to the community. So in my life, I've just been around these individuals that were so inspiring, so many individuals. And that was something that my grandmother told me, is always learn from whoever you meet. Learn a little bit about them and take that, and that will help you to become who you need to be. And I said, "Well, what if I meet bad people, Grandma?" She goes, "Learn from them. You learn from those bad people, because you'll know how not to be." And my grandmother died in January. And another individual that was just so significant, and was always, we would speak frequently. And so when we would speak on the phone, or whether I went to see her, she would listen. And I would say, "Well, I brought you a newspaper." And she said, no, "I'm going to go get it from the store." And so she would go and pick up the publication, because she liked going in there, and I guess she was being a little bit of a show off that her granddaughter owned a newspaper.
Well, of course, I would too.
But just, I've had so many role models in my life, and a lot of them have been my faith leaders and individuals that were spiritual leaders and that surrounded me. So I was very blessed.
Yes, but I noticed now that grandmother and the grandfather, the grandmother says, learn from people, even those that do bad things.
Yes.
That's quite an educational step for anyone to take, let alone a good listening tool.
I think so often, young people do not take the time to get to know their grandparents and learn their history. I was quite the opposite. I mean, as a little girl, I would often, they'd send all the children away from the room so they could have adult discussions, and the ladies would be sitting and handling situations, or if it was a family situation. Well, I quickly figured out how to sit behind the couch where nobody could see me and listen in. And so I would listen to, how they handled situations, and I was a child, but one thing about me is I was very, my husband always says, "You're so quick-witted," and, just always because of these folks and how they were strategists, and I learned so much from them. So I think for me, life, I look forward to any challenge that crosses my path, because in some regards, I've been a strategist since I was about 7 years old.
Christy, your strategy is to help the Lubbock community know one another, especially Hispanics, Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some dream like at the end of your days, you can look back and say, I got this to work or that to happen?
Oh, I have so many that I've been able to achieve and so many that I still have to look forward to. Of course, one of the projects for me that I would like to see is a Hispanic Culture Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, you know, play a big role in securing a building for a local organization and whatnot. I moved away, went to work in Washington, D.C., and unfortunately, I handed it off, and years later, there it still sits, but it still continues to be a dream for me because I believe that, you know, we have to share the past and all the history and contributions that anybody makes in the community. And I've had the good fortune of knowing so many individuals. I mean, I've got to see and work with a lot of trailblazers, and a lot of them have passed on or they're passing on. And for me, I think it's my responsibility to share those contributions and, you know, and also being a Latina in Lubbock. I think sometimes when I see leadership roles and they're only held by, you know, Anglo community, and it just, for me, I want it to reflect, I want it to reflect our community. And the only way to make that happen is if we ourselves become engaged. And so I try to create opportunities for other individuals, but the most significant one is making sure that these young people are getting their education so that they see that not only, and I share this with the kids all the time, it's great for you to get an education, but right here, your education also needs to include learning to get along with other people, people from diverse backgrounds, as well as making sure that you're not just a person that speaks about doing things, that you become an action person. I'm all about action. It's great to dream it, but I want to live it out and help to make it happen.
Christy Martinez Garcia, you have been a delight, and you've brought your grandparents into this studio with us in this time. I am deeply grateful that you would come and give of yourself one more time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much
for joining us today. I'm Ted Dotts, and you've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1.
You've been listening to Faith Matters with your host, Ted Dotts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Hospice of Lubbock, Happy State Bank, and the law firm of Mullen, Hoard & Brown, LLP. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1.